Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, it has gone 7:19 Central African time. At that time of the morning on the program, Consciously Connected, we join Adam Kamda, our professor of fishing. The Indian Ocean, it smiles from end to end, from here to Mogadishu, when Adam Kamda gets up and watches it. And so there is a bird. I want to catch it. And you're lucky for Adam that when it's raining too, the fish, they don't mind getting wet. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
I'm Shafar, just nice and cozy in my apartment overlooking the ocean. It's a chilly, windy day on the Durban beachfront this morning. There's 3 meter swells out at sea. I can see white horses out at sea. The offshore wind has kind of flattened the basin area, so there's only two surfers out on the water this morning. And just a handful of bathers as well on the beachfront, Shabbat.
No, absolutely. And then you get the fitness fundis. Whether it comes hail, wind, or storm, are they still jogging down the esplanade there or near the pier, Adam?
The promenade is deserted this morning, Shafa'at. You know, although you have, as you mentioned, some diehards who will jog and exercise in any weather conditions, but I think it's the wind, it's the rain, and it's the cold temperatures as well, Shafa'at.
Ralam, when you look at this type of weather, the bigger sea, the maybe choppy sea, the white horses all around, what do fishermen think of when they see things like this? Or do they get into, maybe they're listening to us this morning, or, they're looking to fishing programs, or are some of them addicted to the game called fishing, where you can fish and really feel, hey, I got a wild tuna, or I've got a shark on, or I caught a skate, or I caught a barracuda, or, so forth. How many of them, when it comes to fishing, when you're truly a fishing addict, when you've got all this inclement weather, will you go into the maybe artificial intelligence and test your skills, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, I'll give you some insight regarding, other activities. For example, I'm in the fishing industry. I'm running a fishing tackle store. And generally, when the weather gets bad, things get, business gets a bit quiet. You expect it to get quiet because people are not really in the mood to get into their car and go out, get wet, and then go shopping. But on the contrary, we go through phases, Shafa'at, where, it's the weather's so bad, and if it's bad for a couple of days, the fishermen can't go out to sea, or they can't launch their boats or their skis. Then they end up still thinking about fishing, and they want to come and browse. They want to come to the shop and still spend their time doing fishing activities. And shopping for fishing tackle is one of the biggest thrills for fishermen as well, Shafa'at. Always looking, at all the new technologies that's been used for braid and nylon rods, all the latest reels that are being launched, etc. So that's activity-wise. Fishing-wise, Shafa'at, it's safety first. And in conditions like this, the forecast was for 3 meter swells, 30 knot winds, and really, really uncomfortable conditions at sea. So I'd expect all the charter boats would have canceled their trips today. Looking out to sea, I could see a yacht. And I'm thinking to myself, who would be out in this weather? The yacht sails were down and tucked away, and they were on motor and heading towards the harbor entrance. So probably this yacht might have launched from Richards Bay and had to endure rough seas and headwinds for most of the way if they traveled in the last 24 hours. And I'm sure they must have been very relieved to get into the calm waters of our Durban Harbor, Shafa'at.
Absolutely, Adam. And now, whilst you're talking about people in this weather, inclement weather, and they still love shopping, many will go to the shopping mall, and, also they like the chows and all. Do you have a chow section in your store? Because you'll simply rock it. Maybe you'll have to, one corner Adam's special this morning, bhajias with a lovely chili sauce, and maybe Friday's leftover Memon Akni. We have the green one in store. You sell it out. But besides that, Adam, what is the most common question you are asked as a tackle shop?
Just talking about food, Shafa'at, I've got, I'm quite popular on social media, posting pics of recipes and lovely breakfasts and snacks, etc. I've had hundreds of requests to open a snack section in the shop, maybe some samosas and bhajias and a coffee station, etc. But Shafat, we are so blessed in Amsterdam, Rosanna. We've got an amazing array of food that's available. Number one is Sultan's Food City, making amazing burgers, pizzas, grills, etc. You've got United Fisheries right next door, frying up perfect fish and chips. They've also got a big menu. Then there's samosa and chai also in Amsterdam, Rosanna. If you want a snack, you can eat some hot samosas and hot tea in the little store, or buy all the frozen pies and samosas to take home, Shafat. So we're already very well catered in Amsterdam, Rosanna, and I try and stick to my key focus, which is fishing tackle and motoring equipment, Shafat.
Well, alhamdulillah, you know, brilliant indeed. And I look at your heart, you know, your neighbors, they'll be so happy with you. They say, you know, this Adam Kamda, he's got such a big heart. He doesn't conceal anything. What's in his heart? He's good, he's so efficacious and so forth. But, you know, when the people come for tackles, and maybe the most common question a customer asks you all the time, Adam, what is it?
Yes, Shafat, the most confusing thing when purchasing fishing tackle, especially for a beginner, Shafat, you know, there's hundreds of different types of rods, different lengths, different thicknesses, different weights, different speeds, different casting weights, etc. And there's hundreds of different reels, different sizes, different drags, different ball bearings, etc. And there's quite an array of different lines and braids and all manner of artificial lures. So it's quite a daunting choice. So coming back to the most confusing question, Shafat, is when a beginner walks in and says, I want to buy my own fishing tackle because he's tired of borrowing and breaking or losing his friend's tackle, like sinkers, etc. So he wants to buy his own. And you ask him, what species does he want to target? And he looks at you with a blank stare thinking, are you being funny or are you being serious? Because how can you choose what fish you want to catch? And that's the art of fishing, Shafat. You know, you've got to follow the seasons. You've got to fish in the vicinity of a certain species. You've got to learn the environment. For example, bronze bream fishing is very particular with which kind of rocky area you fish and whether it's incoming tide or outgoing tide, the type of trace that you use, the type of bait that you use, the type of rod and reel that you use, etc. And every species has its own knack. Like even shad fishing can be very easy when it's in season, but you have to use the right tackle. So with shad, they have very sharp teeth. The shad trace is made up of a wire right at the front, right at the hook, so the shad can't bite you off. And it also has a polystyrene or a cork float to keep the bait off the bottom after you cast it, Shafat. And you'd have a sinker attached to it as well to give it some weight to be able to throw it out to sea. And we love sharing this information with our customers, Shafat. So anybody walks in, whether they're expert or whether they're a beginner, and they throw questions at you. And then you can happily walk them through the entire shop, showing them all the different sweeties that we have for them. And there's even a section with ready-made traces, Shafat. There's probably about 20 different species of you know, traces that target different species. So you can, you know, even on those, they have a card with a picture of the fish that you'd be targeting, a little bit of information on the species and its habitat, and the trace already done. And the fun thing as well is, Shafat, you can easily buy these traces and then make them up yourself. Learn to tie a few knots, try and match the size hooks and the size of trace line. And as you learn, you become more and more proficient, Shafat. And that's a lot of the fun of fishing.
Ah, brilliant indeed. You know, we say in the South Africa, we are bilingual. Go, Boko, go! Anyway, yeah. Boko won that World Cup. I don't know if you watched it, but hey, 1 point Kings. But when you come to your staff, you know, we talk bilingual, we talk Afrikaans, English, or some can talk Zulu and different languages. But in your store, as you said, you do tackles, fishing tackles and rods and so forth, and also space for calves. So every staff member there has knowledge of both products, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, on the ground floor, it's mostly fishing tackle, bait, car accessories and tools, etc. And everyone can serve those departments. And then upstairs, we have car body panels and windscreens. And there's a separate set of staff upstairs who specialize in that knowledge, and they can easily quote you over the phone or as walk-in customers. We have most items in stock. A lot of the panel shops battle to keep stock because the stock is so bulky, like bonnets and windscreens, etc. But we try and keep 90% of the stuff in stock. So you can happily walk in, give us a list, and we'll fulfill everything within a few minutes, and off you go, Shabbat.
Yeah, you're talking about windscreen. The other day, a friend of mine reckoned, hey, chef, my windscreen cracked. I said, hey, go to Adam, tell him I sent you. He's got the windscreen. I don't know if he came to you, but I mean, do you fit on the windscreen too, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, we have two fitters. They work from Monday to Saturday, and you don't even have to make a booking. You can come in, and if there's one or two before you, you get a number, and just join the queue. It doesn't take too long, probably about 45 minutes to remove your old windscreen, fit a new windscreen, and then you need to let it cure for a minimum of 1 hour. So while you're waiting, you can take a walk up to Samosa and Chai and have a nice little snack and come back.
Hey, if I get a windscreen problem, I'm going to come there, but I'm going to take you out to Sultan's and all that. You can tell me, chef, this is the tea there, that's the samosa, this is a Lucky Burger there. We'll make a plan. You know, one of the days, the chip will have to hit the windscreen. We'll have to. I mean, perhaps you can give us a tip here. You know, when you're driving behind the truck, if that truck picks up a small stone, it's bound to crash into your windscreen and cause that, you know, that hole or to crack, and that crack will get into a bigger crack. Do you get any type of shield or spray that you can put that, you know, your windscreen wouldn't be so susceptible to these types of scenarios, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, to prevent stone chips, you get products like bonnet guards and headlamp guards, which would protect chips on your bonnet and cracks on your headlamps. But when it comes to the windscreen, there's no such shield because it'll impair your vision, Shafar. So the best way to avoid these kind of mishaps is defensive driving. So if there's a truck ahead of you, make sure you keep plenty of distance between you and the truck so it doesn't pick up any stones. As you're driving along the highway, if you see municipal workers cutting the grass with brush cutters, give them a wide berth. Don't drive, you know, in the fast lane near to where they are cutting the grass. Just change lanes, go as far as possible to the left lane, or if they are on the left, go as far as possible to the right, and give them a wide berth, and even slow down as well, because those little stones that get picked up by the brush cutters get hurled at you like a projectile, and that the speed of that little stone is added to your speed in the opposite direction. So even a tiny little stone can cause a cracked windscreen, Shafad. And the advice is, well, if you have a chip or a crack, rather attend to it sooner, because the fine for driving with a cracked windscreen sometimes is more than what it would cost you to even just replace a brand new windscreen, Shafad.
No, absolutely. People, you know what, Adam is giving you a tip here, people. He is dead cheap. Yeah, but he's guaranteed.
I'm giving you a tip, not a chip, Shafad.
I know. Yeah, but you know, you're a brain box, you. Huh? What do you say, Mr. Kamisa? Yeah, Idris says, I'm a big fan. I'm listening to my student. Yeah, Idris Kamisa listens to the show, Adam. So he's listening to you this morning. Got a message here from Gaff. He says, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. I'm from the Sevens. And the other day, one lighty asked me about deeper reefs and shallow reefs. I tell you, Adam and Chef, I knew nothing. Please, Adam, what is this deeper reefs and shallow reefs? I didn't know. I only knew there was one reef. But now the lighty asked me, deeper reef and shallow reef. Please fill me in. How do you respond to gaff there, Adam?
Yes, apt name, Shafad. We often look for the gaff when we're on the boat, and hopefully gaff is around. So this answer is for gaff. Perfect question for me, Shafad, because I went out to sea yesterday, and I looked at the forecast and I could see there's lots of wind and rain approaching, but I found the gap in the morning. The forecast showed lighter winds and less clouds, less cloud cover, meaning less chance of rain, etc. So I was very fortunate to have launched at around 5:30, 6 a.m. I headed out to number one, which is compared to the backline, it's a deeper reef. There, the depth ranges from 22 meters at the shallowest part of number one to around 28 to 30 meters, you know, as you drop off over the reef. And there I enjoyed doing a bit of slow jigging. I hooked one fish that really gave me a good fight and then put both my hooks off the jig. I only got the jig back. Well, I was happy to get the jig back, but I was sad to lose the fish. Mm. And then I had more drama. I had some whales came past. I got up to check for my phone to try and take some photos. My phone was kept in the dashboard. As I reached up for that, I turned back and I saw one of my slow jigging combo get pulled directly into the ocean. And then a few minutes later, as I reeled the other line in, I actually hooked the line of the slow jig rod that I lost, and I managed to retrieve that full combo.
Wow.
But that aside, Shafat, so you can see there's no shortage of entertainment out at sea. So that's the deeper reefs. I continued fishing there. Didn't get much action. I got a bonito and some trigger fish. The fish were not biting so well, and you know, it looked like the rain clouds were getting closer. So I didn't want to be out at sea and get totally soaked, so I headed closer to shore, where I met Ibrahim from Muscatch. He was anchored in what we call the basin area, that's just off Ushaka. And then he saw me, you know, heading shallower, and he waved to me and actually called out to me to come and fish next to him, which is very courteous. You know, fishermen normally keep their fishing spots secret, but they were on the fish and they were making good catches of snapper salmon. So I approached them and I fished that shallower reef. Depth was about 6 to 7 meters, and managed to hook a few nice snapper salmon as well, Shafat.
So no, brilliant indeed. And not being territorial, but sharing the territory, and you get a lot of barakah. Ismail says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda, you are tops. The other day, I was having a chat with a Vit fisherman, and he was talking about catching a good kuta and tuna. But he says, you know, go and do down rigged baits. This is a very good thing to do, and you'll get all these fish coming to you. I was playing like a good thing, like I understood what you're saying. But when you said down rigged, I got confused. Please, Adam, fill me in. That's a good one, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, the pelagic fish like tuna and kuta are normally caught on the surface. These are game fish that normally come up and chase shoals of bait fish. So when we fish, we often use live baits or slowly trawl the baits, you know, that's at the surface of the sea. But often these kuta are shoaling and they would be found like mid-water. For example, if you are fishing in 30 meters deep water, they'd be found at about 15 meters. And you get clues of their movements on your fish finder, Shafat. The fish finder is a sonar device that shows up blotches when the echo locator bounces off the bottom and comes back to your transducer, and it gives you a symbol on the screen, you know, that you can interpret as fish. So if you can see these blotches at around midway on your screen, indicating around 15 meters, then you would use that same trace that you are using to slow trawl, but you'd attach a sinker with a rubber band onto your main line and let out more line. So that sinker takes your bait down to that strike zone of about 15 meters, Shafat. And even down rigged with that sinker, you can still keep the boat in motion. So you're trawling over certain reefy sections which hold fish, and you can still entice that bite from the kuta, whether it's a live bait or a dead bait, Shafat.
Kasim says, Assalamu alaikum. Great chat on a Sunday morning. Adam, I do hear lots of people talk about you must keep an eye for waves or on the back line just in case. I want to know what's the waves and the back line. Waves, is it near the breakers? I know where the breakers is, where the waves come in and crash. I know the breakers because I used to swim in river mouth and I used to go beyond the breakers. How do you respond to Kasim here, Adam?
Yes, that's a very, very important question, especially for our coastline here at Ushaka, Shafat. Generally, you'd find the swell coming from very far out to sea, and it's moving, that energy is moving through deep water. So you just see the surface of the sea rising and dropping as the swell moves through. But when it reaches shallow water, that's the back line, that's when the wave curls over and crashes and then rolls towards the beach. So what affects it is sandbanks. If a sandbank forms just beyond where the waves normally break, then you could get waves lifting up even further out than your normal backline. But what's so specific to Durban, Shafat, is we have a reef called Limestone Reef, which runs parallel to the shore, which is about maybe about 500 meters, 400 or 500 meters from the shore. So even though you can go pretty close to the back line, the depth there will be about 3 meters. But further back from that, Shafat, you can have these waves breaking over limestone, and that can really catch you unawares if you don't have that local knowledge, Shafat. So when backline fishing, it's very important to know where the reefs are. It's very important to take consideration of the swell forecast. Like a day like today is 3 meter swells. And as I'm looking out to sea, looking south towards the harbor entrance, I can see waves breaking on Vetches Reef continuously. And then occasionally you get that wave picking up on limestone. So it's very, very important where you're anchoring, where you're fishing, and to be aware of the ocean at all times, Shafat.
Looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum. Here in the Eastern Cape, they call me Doofus, and I'm well known in fishing circles. I want Adam to tell the listeners, what are some of the conditions that make for difficult fishing? Adam, how you respond to Doofus from the Eastern Cape?
Yes, Shafar, today is a typical day here on shore, happily chatting to you because the weather is too bad to fish. And, you know, we are so blessed, Shafar, with modern weather forecasting technology. I use WindGuru pretty much exclusively, although I do dabble into WindFinder, etc., to see what's going on. But you get used to the certain graphics that they use, and you know, you can interpret it to what it's going to show. WindGuru even has a pro version where you pay a subscription and you get even more detailed information. But I found the free version to be very accurate and very sufficient for our needs, Shafat. Usually when people say, oh, these forecasters got it all wrong, etc., it's just a matter of timing. For example, if it shows a northeasterly wind and it's going to swing around to southwesterly at 12 noon, sometimes that wind won't come through, but it may still come through at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, or sometimes it might come through early and people say, no, that forecast was wrong, but they've got the direction right, they've got the intensity right, so you can still plan your day, Shafat. And that's how I managed to find that gap for yesterday's fishing, Shafat. So weather-wise, be very aware of what's coming, especially on our coastline. You know, when the weather system, when you have a cold front approaching, you get a southwesterly picking up, and they call it a buster, a southwesterly buster, where it comes up really suddenly, creates big waves, and makes the sea very choppy, especially if you're a boat fisherman, Shafat.
You know, Adam, I know many freshwater fishermen tell me, hey, you know what? I used a frog, man, and I caught this and I caught that. But can we use frogs for saltwater fishing?
I've got mostly saltwater experience, not much freshwater experience, and sometimes I feel a bit queasy when they talk about all the different types of baits that they use in the dams and the rivers. You know, the freshwater guys using actually live frogs. I think they call them plaikies or something. There's an Afrikaans word for it. They even breed these frogs to be used as bait. And so when it comes to artificials, they've actually developed lures that mimic a frog, whether it's a surface floating frog or a soft bait that actually swims below the surface. And, you know, even the legs look realistic to trick the bass into striking these. I'd hesitate to take these same lures out to sea, Shafat. You know, wherever you are, they say match the hatch. So you've got to try and mimic the bait fish that's in the water. And I think most of the sea fish will turn their nose up to a frog. And they'd rather eat something that looks like a squid or a mackerel, a lure that looks like a mackerel or a sprat. And even if you get the shape of the bait fish right, the colors are also very, very important. So fish can be really fussy and picky and choosy You know, you could be fishing with the most expensive tackle and not catching fish. But you just change your lure, just, you know, try a slightly different color, and you'll get the strike chuff out. So those frog lures and things, I think, you know, generally can be used mostly on the freshwater side, not saltwater side.
Well, as Adam said, and they got special names there, the freshwater. They say, hey, we got a mealy bomb. It's all mealies, like, you know, but they gave it such a name, bomb and all that. You think, hey, fantastic, bombastic fishing there. But as Adam said, saltwater fishing, fishing in the Indian Ocean is something else. Adam, it's a recipe time. What do you have for us this morning?
Yes, Chef, since I caught some snapper salmon yesterday, I just Googled some recipes to find out what can I do with these snapper salmon. They're generally smallish fish, so we don't cut them into slices and fry them up. It's suitable for grilling whole or even on the braai. But if you're doing it on the braai, then use that braai grid that you can flip your fish easily with. So it's a very simple recipe. You chop up a handful of dhania. You chop up with this some salted capers and some garlic. Combine all this with some crushed red pepper and a large pinch of salt. Transfer this to a small bowl and stir in some canola oil, and then set this aside. Then take your snapper salmons, cleaned and scaled and gutted. Make a few long sashes along the side of the snapper, slicing almost through to the bone. Then you lightly season the fish with some salt and fill the slashes with the paste. Rub the fish all over with some more canola oil. Then you can either grill this in the oven or, as I said, do it on the braai with the fish rack so you can turn it easily. And then serve this hot with a generous piece of fresh lemon chaba.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.